you brought your Bibles today, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start with verse 5. We were at the pastor's retreat this last week at Quaker Heights, and it was a lot of fun. We got to hear Jason Nightingale speak, and if you ever heard him speak, he's very powerful, very,
very deep, low voice.
I don't know if you've ever heard his voice, but it is just deep. And when he says the scriptures, it's, whoa! God is talking right now. You better listen up. And then Doug Smiley is the pastor at Linville, and he was there as well, and he just focused, driven, passionate, Holy Spirit-led man. And one of the things that we talked about was prayer and the importance of prayer. So I thought it'd be a good thing. I felt led to talk a little bit about prayer. And there's so many different things that we can talk about prayer because there's so many different ways that we pray. But I want to just get down to the basics, down to the fundamentals, because it strikes me as funny the way that some of the prayers that I have heard before in the past. And so I wrote down a little prayer that kind of resembles some of those really, really good, you have to go to school to pray like this. We'll just put it that way. O gracious God Almighty, Prince of Peace, Light of the World, for you are God of all your magnanimous magnificence and omnipotence and radiance. Your radiance has overcome and trampled the transgressions of even the stiff-hearted, which of course I am not. Bless your tabernacle and all these sinners that go there daily in need of the cleansing blood flowing from the lamb that was sacrificed, because some people just don't know how to be religious. In the name of the fathers whose hands in glorious splendor hold the whole world. Amen. Now, how does that prayer make you feel? Anybody, just shout it out. How does it make you feel, John? A bit pious? Rick, what do you think? Heard you chuckling. Pious? A little beyond pious. Red, you're chuckling. Gives you the hives. What was it about it? What was wrong with my prayer? All about the person who's praying, isn't it? It's all about the person. Not only that, but it uses a lot of things to kind of boast about your knowledge. I'm boasting about, oh, I can pray so good, and you know, puff it out a little bit as I pray, and everybody listen to me pray because I'm just so good at praying. But Matthew chapter 6 verse 5 just leads us in. This is why Jesus spoke on this in the Sermon on the Mount, is because of people praying in a similar manner to this in public to draw attention to themselves. Starting with verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, I'll be honest, this prayer doesn't have to be all bad. If you take out the pious parts, some people may say, well, what's wrong with praying? Oh, gracious God Almighty, Prince of Peace, Light of the World, for you are God of all. Is there anything wrong with ornating our Father when we pray to him like that? Not really. But the thing of this prayer that took that away from us, because he didn't mean what he was saying. I didn't mean that. I just meant, look what I know how to say. The essence of prayer, verses 5 and 6, the essence of prayer is private communication with God. It says, when you pray, go to your room and close the door. when you speak in private, doesn't that mean that what you're saying is very important? It's very important to you. It's very, very much on your heart. What deepens my marriage with Chandra is sharing things with each other that are too vulnerable to share to other people. The things that I know about her and the things that she knows about me, we have this pact in our marriage that we don't build walls. And everything that I don't tell her is a brick. And everything that she doesn't tell me is a brick. And pretty soon you get these walls built up before you know it and you have to tear them back down. But when I share things with Chandra, it's still hard because it's still vulnerable. It involves my heart. It involves my fears. It involves just something that a normal person might laugh at you for. When you say things in private, it just kind of shows that it means more to you. To share like this, your heart has to be open. Your heart has to be open, and God desires this connection with you. Now, if you're praying loudly in public to be seen by men, which is what Jesus is talking about here, if you're standing in the street corner praying this prayer because you want people to know that you're religious and you know all this stuff and you're schooled when it comes to religion, schooled, learned. That's not the way to do it. This isn't to say that you can't pray in public. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. It's just meant to bring our attention to our motives behind the prayer. And that's what verses 5 and 6. I just want to take this apart a little bit, do a little bit of a Bible study. Because I need to learn too. So if I'm saying something, you just, Pastor, you're wrong. This is right. Unless I'm right, then I'll tell you. Let's move on to verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8 say, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So it's saying God knows our needs before we ask. We don't have to explain our prayers to God in big words. And I think that's one thing why a lot of people don't like to pray in public, because they think they can't do it good enough. Am I right? If you can't pray like that person or use those words or have that silver spoon just flowing out of your mouth, you're more shy to pray in public, because what are people going to think of you? I sat down at a family meal one time. Chandra's laughing because she knows. She was there. It's on her side of the family. And somebody, I'm not going to say whose uncle it was, but he said a prayer, and he's kind of known to kind of sound pious. I don't know his heart for this prayer. But he said a prayer, and then he explained to God the definition of the words in the prayer. I mean, I'm glad he did it, because I didn't know what he was saying. He had just come back from seminary. He was very learned in the scriptures. I don't know. But what did you say, Bob? Well, he was knocking in some kind of tongues. I don't know. It was still English, but I had to have a dictionary and a thesaurus to understand. What he's saying is God knows our needs before we ask. We don't have to use those big words. Anybody can pray. What's the essence of prayer? It's your private communication with God. It's your heart open to his. And what comes from the heart is more meaningful to God than any prayer. What good is a prayer that just anoints God and ornates his name and tells him how beautiful and wonderful he is, but if that's not what your heart is saying, it doesn't mean that. So prayer from the heart means more than anything else. God knows what you're going to pray before you're going to pray it. But what he's looking at is the heart behind the prayer, and why are you praying? Jesus is encouraging persistent prayer, but he condemns the shallow repetition of words that aren't offered with a sincere heart. So sometimes we think that if we just say it over and over and over and over, it's kind of like a little kid. Can we get a pool, Dad? 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 Until Dad says, "Yes, now just be quiet. I'll get you a pool." That's not the way God works. And that's what Jesus is saying here, is persistent prayer from the heart is a great thing. But if you're just repeating, or using all these words and trying to just, convincing God to give you something just through the repetition of words, it's just shallow and it's just meaningless. And again, it doesn't go back to that heart of the prayer that God is looking for. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is the model prayer that Jesus is giving. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There he is. He's ornating God's position in heaven, saying, hallowed be your name. You're our Father in heaven. It's a statement of praise and commitment to honor God's name. And while our Father in heaven brings God into a personal and loving light, so he's saying, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is precious. Your name is to be honored above all other names. And you're my Father and you're in heaven. That brings it back down into that personal light. So that's the ornating. That's just, you know how sometimes we pray and we just pray for us and we forget to thank God for things, or we forget to tell God how good he is? That's what this is doing. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, is giving God glory. Once again, it's your kingdom come, Father God. It's your will be done. And by acknowledging this, acknowledging that his will and his plans are what we need. Not only is God our personal and loving Father, but he is also our almighty King to be respected and honored. So here we have Father in heaven, brings it close to ourselves. Hallowed be your name. How honored are you, God? How high are you? I understand that it's your kingdom that's going to come. It's your will that's going to be done, not mine, on earth as it is in heaven. We understand that Father in heaven brings him to us, and then once again we just put it right back that God, you are, I respect you, I honor you, you are the Almighty God. This is why I'm praying to you. Give us today our daily bread. It's a very powerful verse. Because isn't that our prayer? Don't we just pray for our daily bread every day and then some? Because we, dear God, I need this. Dear God, I need this. I need this. Take this away from me. Even when we don't mean to, I don't know about you guys, but naturally, I'm kind of a self-centered person. I'm fighting it. I have to. My wife doesn't let me be self-centered. But aren't naturally, don't we care for our well-being? Isn't that just kind of ingrained with us? You wanna protect yourself. If somebody's going to hit you, you're going to think about yourself when you're supposed to turn the other cheek? Maybe. It's just our natural thing to think about ourselves first. And this is saying, give us today our daily bread. It's asking God for what we need, but it's doing it in a different way. It's saying, you know what I need, Father God. I don't, so give it to me. It's acknowledging that God is our provider and our sustainer. And it's also saying, give us today our daily bread. Give it to us today. It's not asking for tomorrow's. It's not asking for the days after. It's asking for today's. It's a prayer that has to be repeated. We must pray and trust daily. Give us this day that God would give us what he knows that we need. Because who knows our hearts better than ourselves? It's God. Forgive us our sins, verse 12, forgive us our sins and forgive those who sin against us. This is a little harder to pray sometimes. Maybe not to forgive us our sins, but forgive the people who have sinned against us. It isn't always an easy thing to pray because sometimes it's hard to do. But what it's saying is give us clean hands and give us pure hearts, Father God. I'm praying to you. I'm asking you these things. Make me holy. Cleanse me. What happens when we let sin in our hearts? Just a little bit of sin in our hearts. What happens? Isn't it kind of like a disease or a virus, and it slowly starts to take over just a little bit of your heart, and then maybe it affects something else? Like when somebody does something to you that hurts you and you don't go talk to them about it or you can't forgive them, what happens? Doesn't it make a little bitterness? Just a little rock in your heart? And then that little rock kind of filtrates to other parts of your heart and it affects your family. It affects the way you treat other people. It affects the way that you love people and look at people. Very important thing to pray for God to forgive our sins, but also to forgive others who have sinned against us, because that can take over us and consume us. Verse number 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, when I think about this verse, I'm thinking, whatever comes my way, God's going to scoop me up and he's going to give me the strength to deal with it, right? God's not going to give me something more than I can handle. If I get into some temptation, if I get myself into trouble, God's going to pull me out, right? But that's not what the prayer is saying. It's saying, lead us not into temptation. It's saying, God, don't even let me go there. Don't even let me get into the spot where I'm going to be tempted. Let me use my brain. Aren't there times in life where we know that if we get into a situation, we're going to get weak and we're going to crumble? And so the key is to not get into the situation. So that's what he's saying here. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If we get into that temptation, deliver us from it. Deliver us from the evil works in the world, the things that get into our hearts. And because sometimes, even though we have wisdom, we tend to shut it off or not listen to it. I've done that before, once. Now, isn't that what we do? So deliver us from evil. It's don't let us get into that, God. Keep me wise. Keep me away from that. Steer me away from the bad things, but Lord, if I do, deliver me from the evil one. It's not asking for strength to endure temptation, but rather to keep us away from it. Why be in the situation? So that's the Christian model prayer, right? That's what Jesus says is how you should pray. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, you guys probably know it. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this is the model prayer. It really makes sense because to pray this, I mean, it seems simple, and at the same time, it can become just a repetition prayer. Ready? Let's say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. But what is the essence of prayer again? Is it what's in our heart? Even this prayer takes your heart, even though it's the model prayer. And I think it's designed that it has to take your heart. This is a model prayer because one is humble. It's to the point, and yet it's still giving the glory and the honor to God. It's a universal prayer that can be prayed by anyone at any time and in any situation. You don't have to go to school to pray this prayer, brothers and sisters. I don't really see any big words in there. I never had to look up a word in that one. I never had to have that explained to me. And Jesus explains it right here so that we know. Anyone at any time in any situation can pray this prayer from their hearts. This isn't the only way to pray, but it is the model prayer that God desires. It's humble, it's respectful, it doesn't give room to be pious or hypocritical or self-centered unless you're standing on a street corner just letting people know, hey, I got this prayer memorized. I can pray just like Jesus. But the prayer that God desires of you and the prayer that God desires of me is from our hearts. And that means anybody can pray. It doesn't take fancy words. It doesn't take an education. It doesn't even take a solid relationship with God to be able to pray. Because if your heart's there, then God knows what you need. God desires our prayers daily. Not just a one-time acknowledgement that he has the plans and to just do whatever he needs for the rest of our lives. Because he does have the plans and he knows what to do for the rest of our lives. But this Lord's Prayer is something that has to be offered up daily. Why? Because prayer is our communication with God. What did he spend the whole Bible trying to do is get us connected to him. He gave us choices. Those choices led us to evil. Evil took us away from God, and he finally brought us back. So, okay, we're going to have direct communication. Because what he was after the whole time was our hearts. And now we can do that anytime and anywhere, and that's what he desires. He desires your heart every day. What prayer does, when we pray, it opens our hearts to God. And that's what he's wanted ever since he created us. He desires our hearts so much that he let his son die just to be able to save us and to communicate with us and to open that up so that we could give our hearts directly to Him. Prayer is beneficial. I like prayer. I like prayer a lot. I don't always pray. I can't speak for everybody. I don't always pray. And when I do pray, sometimes I don't always pray the way I should because it's a, I got to go, I got to get this done. I don't center my heart down, but center your hearts down this week when you pray. Just kind of wait upon the Lord a little bit and just open your heart to Him. You can say the Lord's Prayer. You can just talk to God. But prayer is beneficial because it connects us with God. And through that connection with God, we find strength. And through that strength, we find peace. And through that peace, we find our hope in all things. A strong prayer life makes for a strong heart. It makes for a strong life. It makes for a strong leader. It makes for a strong connection. Prayer is the building block of our connection with God, and we need to do it every day. And I'd like to get in more about it maybe next week, about some other things about prayer. Maybe I'll work up another good one. But I'm not going to make copies of that one for anybody. That's your challenge this week, is to just spend 5 minutes a day in prayer. 5 minutes, because sometimes we don't even do that. But 5 minutes of honest, heart-open prayer to God a week, and see where you are next week. See how much better you feel, how much more strength there is of you from God. Let's pray. Heavenly God, Father God, just thank you for your words this morning. Thank you for your message, and I ask that you would be in our hearts this week as we pray to you and as we connect with you, as we commune with you, Lord, as we open our hearts, that you would receive our prayers and that you would, in your knowing and in your wisdom and in your plans, Lord, give us the things that we need every day to live and to serve you and to continue on the journey that you have laid out for us, Father God. Amen.